In a few minutes, a reminder how globalization, along with its benefits, also really stuck it to people who went heavily for Donald Trump last election. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We're following a major story of the week, the Trump administration putting tariffs on imported solar panels and major appliances, specifically residential washing machines. It's not just politicians at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland right now. Among the business glitterati, the CEO of the biggest bank, J.P. Morgan Chase. Here's Jamie Dimon speaking with our editorial partner, the BBC, in Davos today. Dimon does not see a trade war brewing.
Tariffs, non-tariff barriers, intellectual property, lack of reciprocity, those are legitimate issues. And, you know, I would urge authorities around the world, that's, if they're legitimate issues, they should be fixed. And, you know, they have to be fixed immediately. These tariffs are not just China. They were a bunch of tariffs. I didn't study the rules, but it's a very small market. It's kind of more of a shot across the bow, but I think he's quite serious about getting fairer trade deals for America.
From Switzerland to another cold place, 14 years ago, I traveled to the refrigerator capital of America, Greenville, Michigan, home of a Whirlpool and Kenmore factory. The parent company, Electrolux of Sweden, had said it would save $81 million a year by moving the plant to Mexico. Workers, their union, and local and state officials then agreed to sweeping cuts and other incentives worth $73 million in a serious effort to keep the factory from leaving Michigan. Back then, a local restaurant owner helped rally what was ultimately a failed effort. His name is Mike Huckleberry, who later got elected for a time to the Michigan State House from that Republican-leaning district as a Democrat. Listen to this Democrat now with the news of the appliance tariffs. Mike, glad we tracked you down.
Good morning, David.
To bring us up to 2018 here, what do you make of these headlines that the Trump administration is going to hit some overseas appliances with a tariff because the competition has just become too fierce and hurt American jobs?
Speaking very frankly, it might be one of the few things that I could support President Trump on. Somebody's got to stand up to these countries to do this. They blocked us from shipping our goods back. I hope it works out. I hope it doesn't start a retaliatory trade war. But somewhere, somebody has to say, hey, we've had enough.
When Donald Trump was elected, I thought of you. I thought of your town, Greenville, Michigan. Many people don't see the benefit of these global trade agreements. They see the negative effects, and a politician like the current president of the United States articulates that.
I agree with you. What makes it really interesting is if you look at all the votes for these unfair trade agreements, it's been his party that has promoted this and calling it free trade. And now his party seems to be trying to have a switch on it. Maybe they're coming to the party too late, but at least maybe they're coming to the party.
And this from a Democrat who went to the Michigan State House as a Democrat. But so they closed the Electrolux factory, sadly, back then. They closed the building?
They did, and most of it has been tore down. So at one time, David, it was the largest refrigeration plant in the world. At one time, they made 5,000 refrigerators a day. And I might add to this conversation, we attracted a company called United Solar, who had a unique solar product, and they were manufacturing it here in Greenville and shipping it more often to Europe because Europe has better programs for renewable energy. They were put out of business by China Solar, undercutting them. And this new discussion with President Trump is it's washing machines and solar. That gives me one more reason to support that.
So interesting. So it's not just the appliances that have an extra edge when you discuss it in Greenville, Michigan. It's also the solar issue. That's what you're telling me.
That's absolutely right. United Solar had a very unique product. They built two big, beautiful buildings in our community, in our industrial park. They were attracting jobs. They were offered good package for their employees. China has been undercutting in solar for years. And what China's attempt is, according to what we read, is to put these people out of business so that they own the solar market.
Mike Huckleberry used to run Huckleberry's restaurant in Greenville, Michigan. He's now a small businessman, does credit card processing. Mr. Huckleberry, thank you for this.
Thank you so much.
That guy's a bit of a Tom Paine. Instead of pamphlets, back during the fight to save the Electrolux factory, he had placemats printed for his family-style restaurant that read, "Dear politicians, in spite of continued raises and perks for yourselves, you have allowed NAFTA and unfair world trade policies to take its toll on hardworking Americans, their families, and the communities they live in. In spite of it, we have news for you. Greenville is bigger than Electrolux." While that solar plant also went bankrupt, we should tell you Greenville, Michigan is currently home of AGA Marvel, the UK-based maker of luxury refrigerators. While those jobs are coveted, the AGA plant has about a tenth of what the old Electrolux factory used to employ. Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is up, not quite a tenth percent. Dow and S&P futures up 0.2%. The NASDAQ future up almost 0.5%. Crude oil up at $66 a barrel. A Senate committee will hold a hearing today and is expected to release new details on a plan to overhaul America's student financial aid system. Until now, proposals for what could go, stay, or change and how the federal government doles out money have been pretty much under wraps. Marketplace's Renato Sago has more.
Congress last reauthorized the Higher Education Act 10 years ago in 2008. This overhaul for the Republican lawmakers behind it is all about simplification and consolidation. The plan eliminates all loan forgiveness programs except one, income-based repayment, but it raises the percentage of annual income borrowers would pay from 10% to 12.5% and changes the time frame.
For undergraduates, they would reduce the repayment period from 20 to 15, but for graduate students, they would increase it from 20 to 30. You know, we think is very problematic.
James Quall heads the Institute for College Access and Success. He says the proposal also reduces loan options and doesn't address long-term funding of federal Pell Grants, the main source of financial aid. Mary Claire Amsalem is with the Heritage Foundation. She says the system needs to be streamlined.
Consolidating the access to federal student loans is a crucial first step in reducing college tuition costs.
If the government does pull back, it could open the door for more private lending to college students. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.